Blog Talk Radio.
Right now. 4. Which one of my singers is going to come up and sing?
Oh, Lord, my God, when I am on this wander, consider all the world that hand had made. I see the stars, I hear a roll of thunder throughout the universe this way. And sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. And sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. When through in the tree, when I look down from lofty mountain gather and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. And sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. And when I think that God his Son's not sparing, send him to die and still can take it in, that on the cross my birdie gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. When Christ shall come with shouting acceleration and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I shall bow in humbling acceleration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. And sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, all the joys we share. What a rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, heaven full that jubilee underneath the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems I almost see all all the saints are dead. Rise above that jubilee, just ahead. In a twinkling of an eye, changes will to be. All the living saints who fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting. On a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When we almost heavenly hosts will begin to sing. Singing in the Holy Ghost, how the bells will ring. Me and there will join the songs when the nail shall be. Praise and cry through all alone, heaven jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting. On a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting. On a happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah. When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Sister Mill.
When you see me coming, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, when you see me coming, I got my Jesus on my mind. When you see me coming, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, I got Jesus, I got Jesus on my mind. When you hear me praying, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, when you hear me praying, I got my Jesus on my mind. When you hear me praying, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, I got Jesus, I got Jesus on my mind. When you see, hear me singing, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, when you hear me singing, I got my Jesus on my mind. When you hear me singing, I got Jesus on my mind. Well, I got Jesus, I got Jesus on my mind. When you hear me sleeping, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, when you see me sleeping, I got my Jesus on my mind. When you hear me sleeping, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, I got Jesus on my mind. When you see me talking, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, when you see me talking, I got my Jesus on my mind. When you see me talking, I got Jesus on my mind. Oh, I got Jesus. I got Jesus on my mind. Oh. Shackles of a heavy burden, guilty with an empty chain. Then I touch the hands of Jesus, now I'm no longer the same. Oh, he touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, what a joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Since I met my blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will always praise him, no matter where I go. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, what a joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met my blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will always praise him no matter where I go. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, what a joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Thank you, Sister Nellie. I'm probably going to hold you a little late tonight because I've got several things to share with you, talk to you about. We're going to be, scripture-wise, in the book of James, chapter 1. But before I get into that, and get into the scripture and get it even opened up, before we open up the church, I know that unless the Lord steps in and heals me again, I don't have much longer. I know that. I just finished sending in this year's restoration and all for this ministry. If something else to happen to me, y'all have to make up your mind what you want to do with this ministry. Got two pastors sitting back there that are on it. And what they get their heads together and come up with and would decide to do, I don't know. Right now, they probably don't know either. But Kenny, I'm going to try. Kenny, are you leaving today?
Not sure. Probably tomorrow, but I don't know. Might be Monday.
Well, I want to get you a key for this church. Dennis has got one. So you can keep the church here if you all can swing it and want to. For a while, you'd probably have to have it just on Sunday morning and Thursday evening. Because Kenny's over the road and Dennis, he works Sunday evening. He can't be here on Sunday evening. But whatever you would decide to do with it, because it's got the online ministry, too, to think about. That online ministry was taught every day for, what, 7 or 8 years, Kenny?
Yeah, for a while. Still do that.
Yeah, well, we're still on it, yeah. We're doing it right now. But it's been around for quite a while, so you need to decide on what you want to do. The ministry will go to you too, you and Dennis. Something happens to me, you too will be responsible, and it will come to you. There has to be a restoration form filled out every year and a $15. That's all there is to it. It's taken care of for this year. But hopefully, I've asked the good Lord to give me a couple more years to get this church going like it should be and to touch me. But it's His way and His will. Because I stand like Jesus did. Not my will, but Your will be done. So whichever way He chooses, whatever He chooses. But I want to let everybody know about it. Because if He chooses to take me home, nobody knew anything at all about it. Kenny does know that Alex set this ministry up. So he's got all the paperwork and everything on it. You need to get in touch with him. All right.
You're going to live another 25 years, 30 years.
Huh?
My mama should have been dead 20 years ago. You're going to outlive her.
Well, like I said, it's up to him. Because he found out one thing, these doctors can't do it. In fact, these doctors don't even want to do it. I came out of the hospital. I was sent up for 5 different doctor visits. 5 different doctors. Pulmonary, heart, so forth, so on. Gastrologist and all that. I have not met one doctor. When I make my visits to them that I was set up for, I meet nurses, no doctors. Well, I can probably thank the Lord for that. Because most of these nurses are better than the doctors are. And I've got another one that's due to come to my house next Thursday. Thursday or Friday, 29th. And there again, when they called and told me, well, we're setting it up for a doctor to visit you at your house. They got through talking, they told me, said, well, now your visitor will be Nurse Casey. She's a nurse practitioner. No doctor. But you know they're charging my insurance company for a doctor's visit. That's why you get these high bills. All right, but enough of that. But I did want to share that with you. Because right now, I'm putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That He's going to give me my couple of years to work with the church, get it going like it should be. And He's going to heal and make me whole. And y'all keep me in your prayers. So with that all said, now, we'll get into the book of James here. Now, whether or not we'll be going through this book, I really don't know. Or whether the Lord just led me for this one's service of it. But do know one thing. Most people don't know anything about the author of this book of James. You know, in the Word of God, there are 4 men named James in the Word. I want to share some with you, because the Bible I have here has got about the authorship and all of it. They're about this James. Most of your Bibles don't. But this one does. It says the author is identified only as James. There are four men so named in the New Testament. Yet the evidence unquestionably favors one candidate. Two that were insignificant in the early church were James, the son of Alphaeus, called the Less, and virtually unknown James, James the son of Zebedee, and brother of John. Though better known, also lacked prominence in the early church and was martyred at the early date of A.D. 44. By contrast, James, the half-brother of Christ. You see, Mary and Joseph had other children. And this, James, is Jesus' half-brother. He possessed all the qualities of the author. First, he was the one James referred to by his name alone. So it was obviously well known to the scattered believers. Second, the language of this epistle echoes the speech of this James in Acts 15. Third, as a leader of the Jerusalem church, this James was also a prominent figure among the dispersed Jewish Christians. The Jews regarded him as the James that wrote this epistle, the half-brother of Jesus. It goes on to say, as a half-brother of Jesus, James grew up in a carpenter's home in Nazareth and later moved to Capernaum. When Jesus began his public ministry, like his brothers, he did not believe in Jesus as Lord until the end of Christ's early ministry. But after the resurrection of Jesus, James received a special post-resurrection appearance of Jesus and experienced a Pentecost Acts 1:14 and was a leader of the Jerusalem church throughout most of the history of Acts. Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, records that James was martyred about AD 62. We were talking the last service about all the apostles being martyred. Now, these men weren't actually among that 12, but both have been martyred. In fact, most of your Christians back in that day and time died a martyr's death. And all because they believed in Jesus. And we're coming back full circle to a period of time where it's going to be the same way here. If you choose to follow, day's coming. If you choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to lose your head. And the scripture tells us so. You don't pull no punches. He tells us flat out. If you ain't saved, you don't really know Jesus. And you're not walking with him, with him and the Holy Spirit, you ain't going to make heaven your home. You're going to wind up in hell. At the end of the great white throne judgment, you're going to wind up with hell, Satan, all the demons, and everyone that hasn't made heaven their home in a lake of fire that'll burn forever, and the worm never dies. You'll be just like a worm then. You'll never die. You see, that's something that people don't want to hear today. But now that they'll look around and they see part of their family gone, like Bobby's mother, she passed away. But she ain't dead. She ain't dead, Bobby. Now, where she is, I don't know. But I do know she's not dead. Either way, if you're going to make heaven your home, when you step out of this, you're going on there. If you're making hell your home, you're going on there. We've got all kinds of records about that and illustrations of it. Just like Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was a believer. He went to heaven. Rich man went to hell. He could see Lazarus in heaven. He wanted him to come and just dip his finger in water to touch his tongue. He was in that much torment. And he ain't even in the lake of fire yet. Just figure how much more punishment that'll be. So all that ain't right better get right. And they better make sure they've got everything right. You can't go out here and listen to a lot of these preachers today because they're going to lead you down the wrong pathway. They're going to hell and taking their congregation with them. We've been over it time after time after time, but the Spirit just brought it to me again, so we're going to hit it once more. You better make sure that you have fulfilled that plan of salvation by Acts 2:38. You better make sure you're baptized right and that you know what it meant. And then you seek for that infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We got too many out there today, and that's why I don't like to see anyone church hopping. Because when you do, you're going to get your life mixed up. And sooner or later, you could be drawn down far enough away to miss making heaven your home. Because we got most all of our denominations out there are baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's wrong. Oh, Jesus told his disciples to. Yeah, he did. I know he did. Last couple of verses of the last chapter of Matthew, as he was sending them out. But you see, they were still operating under the law at that time. They were still under John's baptism. Baptism of repentance under John. The church age did not start until the day of Pentecost, which was several days later. On that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down to man to be with mankind, that's when the church age started. And we're coming right now to we're getting very, very close to the end of the church age. Because when Jesus comes back for the church, there ain't going to be nobody left back here. Oh, you got them out there saying, oh, yeah, but you can still be saved because the word tells you that there's going to be people saved. It does. But it ain't you. There used to be 144,000 saved during the tribulation period. They're all Jews. 12,000 from each tribe. The Bible tells you. Tells you all about it. There's 12 tribes of the Jewish people, and there's 12,000 of each tribe. That's 144,000. And they are being saved and all, and they have been called to help Jesus with his 1,000-year reign here on this earth. I'm kind of hoping that the Lord will let us go through the book of James, because there's a lot in it. There's a lot in the book of James. And a lot of things that we need to listen to and get into and begin to study. But we all need to be changing our lives and quit looking for things on this earth and be looking to build our life in the kingdom of Almighty God. And we're told that also in his word. It tells us straight out. But beginning here with verse 1, chapter 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it joy when you fall into different temptations? Why would you do that? If you're being tempted, do you think that would really be joyful? But you're supposed to get joy out of it. Because, you see, you're not supposed to accept it. You're supposed to put Satan, send him back to hell where he came from when he come out to tempt you. You know, we're told all that are really believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the things he was doing, we can do the same thing. But you've got to be walking with the Lord, not yourself. We all got minds and we all got things we want. But we're coming into a day and time where you better leave that at home. And you better put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make a way to do what he wants you to do. Whatever you've been called to do, that's what you better get at doing. And he'll help you make a way to do it. So you got no excuse for not doing it, because he will help you make a way. He called me into the ministry in 1966. And that's when he first touched me. I was on my deathbed. I was sent home to die in 2 days. They walked right in the room and got me by the hand. I walked through that valley of the shadow of death. I stood before the throne of God. I heard my Savior intercede for me. And when he quit interceding for me, I was put back into a completely, totally well body. And I was supposed to have been dead in 2 days. That was 1966. It's been a long 2 days, ain't it? You see, I had to grow, because I was raised in a denominational church. But even back then, they were different than they are today. Do you know that every church here in Meade County, during my young days, all baptized in Jesus' name, they all taught this word, just like I'm teaching. Every one of them. Of course, that time we didn't have the three different ones here. Had the Methodist, the Baptist, and the Catholic. And now there's all kinds. And walking contrary to God. Because Satan got in. And I have watched the churches fall. I've seen them as they've come down. I know how it started. I know the first thing they changed. The churches. They started their downfall and their fall. And that was baptism. First thing they changed was they quit baptizing in Jesus' name, went to baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus is your only way to heaven. You can't go around him. You can't go under him. You can't go over him. You have to go through him. You can pray to all the saints and anything in the Bible you want to pray to. But without praying and going through Jesus, you ain't going nowhere. It's all in the Bible. But mankind don't want to spend the time in studying of the Bible to find out what it really takes to make heaven your home. I've spent 56 years of growing, going through things, being tempted, tested, guided, and still the same thing. But I know who my Savior is. And I ask him today, Lord, your will be done, not mine. I have asked you. I'll give you my prayer. I have asked you, Lord, for a couple more years to build this church and to help those that will be left here. To get lined out, to get where they really need to be in strength of faith. Because without faith, nothing works. Takes two things to make the Word of God work in your life. The love of God and faith. Without that godly love, faith won't work. And without faith, that love of God's just not around. God will give you everything you need to do what he's got laid out for you to do. You say, oh, I don't know about that now. You know, I've got this I've got to do, and I've got that I've got to do. No. Make up your mind, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I want to do your work. I want to walk in your will, in your way, and he'll see that a way is made for you to do it. You're sitting back and doing your own thing is not the way to get it done. I had a business. I owned the biggest house painting company on the west coast of Florida, painting about 300 homes a year. I was working 28 men. That's what I was doing when I went in that hospital that sent me home to die in 2 days. After I came out of that, God called me into the ministry. He put me on the road. as an evangelist for 3 years. He kept me out there as an evangelist. But one of the first things he told me was, I went out on a couple of revival trips, come back, and Jesus said, get rid of that business. It's in your way. I gave it away. I gave it to one of my brothers. He kept it a week and sold it. But then he seen I always had work and made a way for me to be off when I needed to be off. Raised a family, 6 kids of my own, and helped raise 4 adopted. Was it easy? No. But he was always there with me. I was never out of work. I've done every kind of work. He seen I had a way. One of the first jobs I had, when I had to get rid of that paint company, I went to work in a hospital. He sent me through school and all kinds of training, medically. I had a lot of years in the hospital. Worked in 3 different hospitals. Worked in one in Tampa, Florida, or Newport Richey, Florida. Worked in one in Georgia, the one here in Louisville. I'm still on the Kentucky Nurses Registry to this day. I've kept it just for something to keepsake because he took a boy, an old country boy that didn't know anything, had an 8th grade education, and sent him through medical school. A year of pre-med at college, and back again for another year to work as a physician's assistant, all with an 8th grade education. Most can't even get into college with an 8th grade education. But you see, God can make a way. Then I went to work because I come back to Kentucky and the work they had me doing here at the hospital, I didn't want to stay in. So they brought me back here, and the only work that they would keep me in at the time was OB. Childbearing. Delivering babies. After about 3 months, I told them, I said, this is all you got for me? I'm leaving. I started looking around. Went to work as a security agent. You can call them night watchmen, whatever you want to call them. Back then, they had been being called security. The guy that I went to work for that owned the agency was a Kentucky colonel, and he was in with the state well enough that we all were commissioned as police officers. I could go places where the state police couldn't go. Still, this boy, 8th grade education, left here and moved to Florida. Got down there, started my own agency. I had the only security agency in the state of Florida that was registered by and commissioned by the state as a peace officer. All my men were peace officers. You can call the capital down there, they'll tell you. Not telling you nothing, they ain't sold. I worked as a private investigator. Try that on size. Had two windshields shot out on me. Had a woman try to run over me. Had a Chicago contract put out on me by another lady. I had five set up an accident on the highway so they could get me. But you see, the Lord was with me. I left five of them laying in a ditch. County sheriff called me. He said, Tony, I know this is your work. Next time you leave a mess, you clean it up. Don't leave it for me. Ain't much I haven't done because I needed work, raising a family and doing what God wanted me to do. I paid for my own way of travel that 3 years as an evangelist. I have never, in all the years of ministry, taken a dime for pay. Church that I was in Georgia gave me $26 as a love offering because they knew I couldn't refuse that. They knew I wouldn't take no pay, so they made it a love offering. They knew I couldn't turn that down. That's why here. You never hear me ask for money, do you? I got a thing sitting there. If anybody wants to donate, they can. But that's between them and the Lord. I pay my tithes, yes. Because that's another thing. The Lord tells us if we don't pay our tithes, in his eyes, we are a robber and a thief. I read that to you all. You don't pay your tithes, you're a robber and a thief in the eyes of God. So you think you're going to make heaven your home? No. There's been three of us that carried this ministry about, what, 10 years now?
Yes.
Kenny pays his tithes then. Terry paid his, I paid mine. That's where the money we got come from. We use it to help others. And to help the church, take care of the church, the ministry, whatever comes up that way. None of us are paid. Never have been. But you see, James, here, talking a whole lot about faith and humility in this chapter. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh boy, that was something I didn't have at all. When the Lord called me into ministry, I didn't have any patience. Uh-huh. But now the Lord has seen and gave me patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, we talk about being perfect. They'll tell you, there ain't nobody perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. He's telling you to walk like him. But if you're going to walk like Jesus, you're going to have to reach that perfection. But we're not talking about this earthly perfection out here, like people look at it. We're talking about the spiritual perfection. Being complete with Jesus. Being mature in him and his word. In other words, we spend time in prayer. Spend time in his word. And study. Not just read it like reading a storybook. But study it. You come across a word you don't really know or understand, look it up. Right now, I'm looking for a place to get a hold of a bookcase for the church here. I've got a lot of things that could help. I don't use anything for my study but the King James Version of the Bible. But I've got a Geneva Bible. I've got an NIV Bible. I've got a Jimmy Swaggart Bible. I've got one that is called the Tree of Life Version Bible. It's a Jewish Bible. I got it from the voice, the Jewish voice that's on television, sent it to me. And you know something? Other than where they have rewrote those from the King James and changed a word or two here, the meaning is not changed. The meaning is still the same. We got to the point where we didn't want to sit down. We ain't got the patience to sit down and really study God's word. If any of you lack wisdom, now how you gonna get wisdom? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. You see, when you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you have filled that plan of salvation as it is given to you to do, once that has been done, then you can go to God and ask him what you will. He'll give you an answer. You say, you're standing up there right now, don't know whether you're going to be all right or you ain't going to be all right. Yeah, I know I'm going to be all right. I just don't know which way. He ain't told me yet. And I know that I've got salvation because I've got the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got the Heavenly Father and I've got the Holy Spirit living in me. And yes, I have asked him for a couple more years. That's all I'm asking for, just a couple more years to finish building this church and getting it going like he wants it. Not like I want it or not like you all want it, but like he wants it. And then I told him, I said, and then Lord, bring me home. Now, verse 6, he just told you that if you'd ask, he'd, it would be given. But here's how you have to ask. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You see, that's why we don't need to be doing all this church talking. Because you're going from one thing to another, to another, to another. And sooner or later, it can get a hold of you. So why take the temptation? They'll ask me, oh, you just want me to come to your church. No, I'm not telling you to come to my church. But I am telling you to find a church that is teaching the Word of God as it is written. Walking around no subject, walking around no one. Get in it and stay. But make sure it is a church that's teaching the Word of God. Make sure they're baptized in Jesus' name. Make sure that they believe in you living without sin in your life. These are things that most of your churches out here today are telling you can't be. They tell you you couldn't be perfect. Or you just heard me read in His Word where you can be perfect. But He's talking about that spiritual perfection. Walking without sin in your life. You step out of this life and step out of this body with one little sin on you, you ain't going to make heaven your home. There ain't no sin in heaven. And once you step out of this body, it's too late. Just like for the rich man. When he asked Jesus about that, about sending Lazarus to him to dip his finger in water, for his tongue was burning on fire, what did Jesus tell him? He told him to no. He can't come to you. And then the rich man asked him, said, well, send Lazarus to my brothers so they don't come to this place of torment. Jesus told him, said, no. Let them hear the prophets and the apostles. He said, no. He said, Jesus, they won't listen to them, but if you send one from the dead, they'll listen to him. Jesus let him know. He said, there's a great gulf built to where no one can cross it either way. They can't come to you. You can't go to them. How many of you knew that was in the Word of God? How many of you knew that? None of you. Dennis and Kenny both should. And it's in there. Now, that man that is tossed to and fro, that was reading about there in verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Here in verse 7, that man, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That man that is being tossed to and fro, he's not going to receive anything from the Lord. God's word, not mine. Verse 8. Why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't have two minds. You've either got to have your mind on Christ or this world. You can't walk with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. It won't work. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but let the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of grass, he shall pass away. Don't pass out of this life. He's going to pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You want to be rich? Just what you need. That's all. That's all you really need to ask for. Lord, take care of my needs. That rich man's going to have a hard time trying to make it out of this life. Because if you notice those that are rich, they just can't stop. They still want more and more and more. And they don't care how they get it, as long as they get it. For the son, well, I done read that. 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. And you will hear that so much out of those that are not saved. Oh, God's tempting me. No. Satan tempting you, but ain't God. Now, 13 says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. He don't tempt you. You get a temptation come at you, it's from Satan. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Your own lust is what will pull you and bring you a lot of temptation. You know, that's why the Word of God tells you something else about adultery. We know no adulterer is going to heaven. No one that dies that's in adultery will make heaven their home. Word flat tells us that. Well, what is adultery? That's when you're married and you step out on your spouse and you have sexual intercourse with someone else. But he even goes further than that. And this is something that all young men ought to be taught. And most churches never teach it, because they don't want to say the word sex in church. I don't know why not. It's in the Bible. But you see, God tells you that when you look on a woman and you look on her with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. You're already an adulterer. For looking at her and wanting her in a sexual way. See, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to studying the Word of God. Because your churches, you know as well as I do, Most of these churches right here don't teach you these things. No. Fifteen. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's showing you exactly what sin will lead you to. 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes from the Lord, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not going to give you anything that is wrong. 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And that's what we're all supposed to be about. We're supposed to be out here working, talking with others, trying to get them in church to bring that fruit to God. That's what our life is supposed to be about. Now, we know that everybody we talk to ain't going to come. We understand that. But it don't stop you from talking to them, and it don't stop you from keep on asking them. Because one day, they just might get tired of you asking and decide to come. Because you remember I told you about me. I had them begging me and telling me, come go to senior citizens with me. Come go to senior citizens with me. My own kids. Dad, you need to get out of the house. I'd lost my first wife. She was dead. You need to get out of the house. You can't just work and come home, sit here in this house. I'm fine. I'm doing fine. They just kept on. Finally, they got talking to a couple that were friends of me and my wife. They got talking to them and got them on me. Time I run into them. Well, now we're going down senior citizens Friday night and Saturday night. Come go with us. You need to get out of the house. Well, I come in one Friday evening around the house and I got to thinking, if I don't go, I'll never get them off of my back. Show you how God works. Give you a good example here. I can prove it, but my kids will tell you. Anyway, I called them up and told them, I said, well, I'll go with you tonight. I got around, took me a bath, and put on some clean clothes because I'd come in from work. And I come with them. We got down, we were sitting at the table right up front next to the bandstand. The leader of the band I knew. And yet I didn't know he even played an instrument of any kind. He had a whole band going. But I enjoyed the music. Because also that was one of my line of work. When I first came back from service, first job I had was with Arthur Mary teaching dancing. So I enjoyed the music and all. So they told me, said, now we're going back tomorrow night, which was Saturday, because that time they had the band both Friday and Saturday night. I told them, I said, well, I'll go with you. I'll come back with you. Well, they called me that evening And they told me, he said, we'll meet you down there because we've got to make a stop on the way. Okay. So I came. They got tied up and never did show up. I'm sitting here at a table of old eight people by myself. The table right behind me had six ladies and one man at that table. So I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying the music and I'm waiting for my friends to come in. But after about half hour, I guess, I was watching the band. I felt something hit my hand. I turned around and looked. This lady is standing there. She said, come on, dance me. You ain't going to sit here for yourself. So I got up and danced with her. Come back and sit down. One of the other ladies. Come on, dance me. Each one of them come and got me. The older lady that was there at the table, she come and got me. Danced with her. The next Friday we went back down to the dance. They had an extra woman with them. Well, she got up. The other women were coming to dance with me. I didn't dance with her. I didn't go get her. Well, I was watching her dance on the floor. I went and got the older lady. And we're dancing. She said, you know that lady you're watching? I said, what lady? She said, you know the lady you're watching. She said, that's my daughter. She's a widow lady. Come find out, all of them there at the table were all one family. They were all kin. But that was her daughter. And she'd been a widow 7 years. And I went back the next night. They was all there. I was there. They played the first song. I went and got her. After she danced with me. She got up and we danced on the floor. Come back by the table. She picked up her stuff, come up to the table and sat with me. I made a date with her for the next Friday night. I didn't wait for Friday. Come in from work Monday. Called her and asked her what she was doing. She told me where she lived. In fact, her brother played in that band. And when I made the date with her for the next Friday, I told her, I said, well, you have to tell me where you live and how to get there. She said, well, I came with my brother tonight. He's in the band up there. He plays the fiddle. Some of you may know him, Ronnie Allen. Anyway, I took her home. So I knew that way I knew where she lived. So I asked her, I said, can I come down? She said, yeah. When I asked her what she's doing, she said, I'm sitting in the front yard in the swing. We met in June. I said, is it all right if I come down? Yeah, come on. I went down on Monday. I went back on Tuesday. I went back on Wednesday. And Wednesday evening, we got engaged. In the fourth day of October, we were married. We've been married now almost 31 years. That's how God will work. He let me think, you know, if I don't go, I'll never get him off my back. But he had something there for me. And he got me there. And on our third evening together, we were engaged. We met in June, was married the fourth day of October. You see, We can't outdo God. A lot of us think we can, but we can't. All right, I'm going to try to get through the rest of this. Told you I was going to hold you a little over because I had some things I wanted to share with you. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Be slow to anger. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You got to watch what you get angry about and what you do with it once you are upset. 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That engrafted word, you know, might be able to translate that better by calling it the implanted word. So, but a lot of us, we don't do that, do we? But it says it can save your souls. But be ye doers of the word. Now, what have I been preaching here most evening? Doing. You don't just hear, you don't just study, you don't just pray. You've got to be a doer of what you're studying and praying and what the Lord our God is guiding you into. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you think you can do it by just hearing the word of God, you're deceiving yourself. You see, we can't work our way into heaven. We can't work our way to be saved. But we do these works because we are saved. You see, this Bible was wrote, this New Testament was wrote to the believer. It wasn't wrote to the non-believer. Your non-believer can't understand it. It takes that Spirit of Almighty God to give you the right understanding of His Word. Now, 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, it's like looking at yourself in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You see, you can be led away. And this is why we don't need to be in and out of all kinds of different teachings. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When you're not just a hearer and you are doing the work of God. You hear His word, you come to church, you hear His word, and you're sharing that word with others, trying to get them into church. He said, then you're blessed. But if you sit back and do nothing, and you're not trying to get nobody else, you're not trying to share anything to help someone else into the kingdom of God, you ain't going to be blessed. Now, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Careful. Careful with your life. Make sure that our thoughts, our speeches, and all are of God. Last verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now he's going to tell us what this pure religion is. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. He's telling you right there to visit those, your orphans and your widows, helping others that are in need, and keeping sin out of your life. You've got to be unspotted from the world. We're not of this world. If you are a child of God, we're not of this world. We're just passing through. We're on a journey, on our way home. And that home will be eternity. But even before that, be ready when Jesus comes for his church or he comes for you as an individual. Because then when he comes back to this earth a second time to establish his thousand-year millennial reign, you're going to be coming with him. You're going to live on this earth another 1,000 years. Think about that. Here, I'm an old man. I'm 89. Think about 1,000 years. And yet we'll all be working. Working with God. You ain't gonna get set around up there. He's got work for us. And you'll have no pain, no sickness, no sorrow. There'll be no tears in heaven. Be full of joy. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs, Father. And Father, for Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for them, Father, for peace for them, because we know they're having very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours has turned its back and walked so far away from you and from Jesus and from the church, and now even from your children. Father, we pray for it. Help us to replace those that are in our government that has brought so much evil upon this land with those that will work with the church, work with the Lord Jesus, work with us to bring our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for those in our prayer list, Holy Spirit, as each name is called, touch that one, Father. Touch them in a mighty and great way to fill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Terry Coates, James Taylor, Bobby Willoughby, Bobby Johnson, Millie Johnson, and myself, with Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. Father, we all stand in need of your touch, of your love, of knowing you, and of being able to follow you. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little Church of God there in Akron. Father, all of these, they all stand. Make them lighthouses, Father. Make them lighthouses. And not only lighthouses, but places of refuge where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. In Father's name we pray. Amen. God bless. Be with us come Sunday morning. God willing, we can all be together again. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Good night, all. Thank you.